So, Rob, why don't you just go ahead with your kooky, crazy opening?
Before we go, I have one question.
Yes.
How is Bob?
I'll tell you this. I just saw them tearing down the Price is Right set.
It's not permanent.
Not permanent, but for a couple of weeks.
That's because the squares are in town.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rimini and all the ships at sea. And now with a program that's packed with more surprises and revelations than Dennis Murphy's Underthings. And by the way, they're both on a hot streak. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide via Vestwood Von Darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara, right here. That's why every day we insist you refer to it as your cotton-picking Don and Mike Show.
And once again, L.A. is my lady.
We are coming to you today from the television network that smells like death.
Yes.
The television network, the Big Eye, CBS, right here, right off whatever street this is that I can never manage to find in Hollywood.
Well, all I know is we're so close we can scratch the eye.
We are in the, in the big studio where they broadcast The Young and the Restless from. Thank you, Rob. We're at the corner of Beverly and Fairfax. And even though we're all the way out here,
yes,
Station at Home is still being run by the man who is Death, Mr. Death, Ken Stevens.
A man who wouldn't do very well out in Hollywood.
His number two, and I do mean number two, Jeremy Coleman, although Jeremy certainly has the hair for the job.
That's correct.
Big Daddy Mel, who incidentally owns all of this.
Yes, he does.
And I was surprised as we walked through the halls of CBS this afternoon, I saw no pictures of Mel.
Well, we'll remedy that before we leave.
I brought that birthday card that Buzz got me, so we're always carrying one with us.
All you need is a Xerox machine.
Much love to you, Big Daddy Mel, and our agent Junior Soprano doing nothing for us from Chicago. There's the chain of command. I don't know if the music has run out or not, so let me just take this opportunity to once again advise all you soccer moms to take Junior and Missy, move them way to the back of the minivan, for I have just whipped this out.
Is that a gold star?
Mike, that is a gold star.
Like the one on the Walk of Hollywood.
That's right, because I'm happy. And Charlie Broyhill is already pointing. What are you pointing? Just say it. Don't point it.
Hey, Charlie, one question before you say what you're going to say. I just have to tell you one thing. Hold on, I have to say, is Bob okay?
I believe he is.
Okay.
Do you need me to recreate that?
I thought we already decided that Kelly Hu would be a no.
Okay.
I checked. Here, give me the book. I checked. I'll tell you who I checked, who's going to be on the show today, and then who I nixed. Okay? Catherine Bell, that hottie from JAG, maybe.
Yeah,
okay, she's
good,
a
solid maybe.
Maybe,
right?
Ted Danson, we got to talk to Pecker.
Absolutely.
We have to talk to him.
That's Becker, though.
Now, Kevin James, no, and I'll tell you why, because Kevin James is such a big shot. He's not here today.
As we predicted.
It is... Via remote from New York.
Hollywood has gone to his head.
So,
he can only be on the telephone.
So who needs that? Betty White?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes. And she'll be one of our first guests.
TV legend Betty White.
Mike, the Van Dyke boys.
Oh, really?
Dick and his son Barry Van Dyke.
Both Van Dyke boys will be here.
Yes. I've also checked yes to Terry Farrell.
Okay, very good.
The hottie who's also on the show, Pecker.
Yes.
I have also checked yes to Leah Remini, who incidentally we have many, many issues with that we will be discussing on today's show.
We certainly do.
Also, Craig Kilborn and Kevin Pollak. Now, those are all of the ones that I said yes to.
Excellent.
I said definitely no to Swoosie Kurtz, definitely no to Tyne Daly, definitely no to Hector Elizondo. You know what name I'm
You know what? He's from one of your favorite movies.
What?
The Flamingo Kid. Larry's Fish House, any fish you wish.
Ah, come on.
Hector Elizondo.
Hey, you know what, though, Charlie? See if Patricia Heaton is Raymond's wife, right?
Yeah,
right. She might.
You just processed that one?
She might be a good one. So listen, we're here. We're in Los Angeles. We've been here all weekend. I don't mind telling you, I'm frankly surprised that the show is on the air today. Based with the fuster clunk that we had yesterday, you know, the station wouldn't allow me to stay back at home to do the Redskins show on Sunday morning and then catch a plane and come out.
Right.
They said, no, you got to go out with everybody else because they got a group rate. It was one of those deals where you have to fly out on a Saturday. You get a cheaper airline, right?
Yeah, and what people don't realize is that we flew out on a C-130 in the cargo hold.
So we fly out on Saturday, which means that I had to do the Redskins show from the studios of The Young and the Restless on Sunday morning, and for the first 20 minutes of the show, we had no satellite feed.
Well, that's the kind of thing you expect, isn't it?
We had absolutely nothing, but it's fine today, and boy, do we have a bunch of weekend stuff to tell you about before we even get to these CBS people.
Absolutely. It was an incredible weekend.
First, I did want to thank my wife and my son. I did have a wonderful birthday on Friday night.
Right.
Which was highlighted, incidentally, by a fantastic Monica.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I told my wife afterwards, perhaps one of her all-time greatest.
Well, that's the way it should be on your birthday.
I would rate it among the top five Monicas.
It's your birthday.
I've ever received in my life. And then she said to me, of the top five, how many come from her?
Oh, really?
And if I've ever heard a loaded question in my life, I said, honey, don't be ridiculous.
Well, you know, the standard answer to that is all of them, honey.
I said,
all of them.
I said, all of them, except for the ones from Rob. that the ones from Rob just mean a lot to me.
Yes, Rob, nobody does it like Rob.
So we got done with the birthday on Friday, and actually Saturday was my real birthday, and I'm looking forward to it because it's a day of camaraderie. We're all going to fly out here together.
Men.
Saturday night, you know, we're going to go to dinner with Leah Remini, and I'm thinking it's going to be the best birthday ever.
Well, you know, I know that a lot of us were looking forward to Leah. We were all getting excited. We all spruced ourselves up. But, in the back of my mind, it was one of those too good to be true scenarios. That's the way I thought about it.
Well, she stiffed us. We'll tell you about that in a minute, because there's a story behind that. The plane ride out, you know, it seems we always have a goofy story about the plane ride out. The only story about the plane ride out would be the status of the waitresses. Excuse me, the stewardesses. The stewardesses.
You know, if you want to get bad service on an airplane, that's all you do. You go, excuse me, waitress?
Those girls, I guess, had been around since Orville Redenbacher or whatever his guy was. Orville Wright.
Orville and Wilbur.
Ever since Orville Wright invented the airplane, those girls had been waitresses.
You ever see that little pancake plane that bounces up and down? You know, that little old...
Oh, yeah, right.
One of those stewardesses, one of the waitresses was on that, actually.
These ladies, while they were very nice...
Oh, yeah, but they were, I mean, really, they were veterans, tremendous veterans.
They were very old, and the movie of choice couldn't have sucked more. It was the movie Love Letters.
It was horrible with Kate Capshaw and everybody else.
And Tom Selleck.
It totally sucked.
Tom Selleck. Oh, and surprise, Ellen DeGeneres was in it. And now, it wasn't Ellen DeGeneres whose mother became gay, right? It was someone else's mother who became
gay. It was Kate Capshaw's mother.
Right, who became gay.
Yeah.
So the movie just was no good. The plane ride was too long. We finally get out here. And we're expecting, I think we're all expecting, that Hollywood weather.
Yeah, and it's like no weather I've had out here before. It was really, it's cloudy. It's about, 50 degrees, and we land, and it was amazing. It didn't seem like we were in L.A., man.
It's as bad here as it is at home. It's probably better at home, as a matter of fact.
It's probably clearer and crisper, and here it's just a little muggy, overcast, just gross. It's not all that bad. I don't mind it, really.
So we get in line for the rental car, and we decide at that point that we're going to split up before dinner.
The way we always end up splitting up.
That Mike and Rob are going to take a cab to go to the hotel, and then Charlie Broglio and I are going to drive around town a little bit. Now, I've got to be honest that I have lived here before. I lived here. Well, what did Robbie just write down for you?
Rob just jotted down the name of our cab driver that we took to our hotel. His name, Dom, was Two Tooth Bill. Two Tooth Bill, who we stumbled upon as he was finishing his lunch with his two teeth. And he was a wonderful conversation. We had a very terrific ride with Two Tooth Bill, who was on his radio for the entire trip trying to figure out where our hotel was. And I realized that I had the hotel address in my suitcase that was in the trunk. And so finally I told Two Tooth Bill, I said, Two Tooth? Why don't you just pull
TTB.
Over? TTB. Why don't you just pull over to the side and I'm going to get it out there. And then he looked at it and said, oh, that's where it is. And then he got back on his radio again.
So we got the rental car.
Right.
And we followed.
And a beautiful rental car it is.
Listen, I want to tell you something. If you really want to appear like you're one of the happening people
here in LA
in Los Angeles, I recommend you drive a purple Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
Because that's what we are all tooling around in today. Thank you, guys. And thank you to CBS. Incidentally, I want you to know something. That was the upgrade.
Oh, was it really?
I paid the extra to get that car.
That's quality. Yeah, the other thing would have been like what are they called, those soapbox derby cars?
We get to the hotel, and Mike and Rob are going to crash or do whatever they do before.
We were making love.
Before it's time to go to dinner with Leah Remini.
Sorry, Rob.
Charlie Broyhill wanted to go to Tower Records, and I wanted to go to, shocker, a cigar shop.
Yes, because you didn't get enough cigars on your birthday.
I know.
So it was important for you to get to acquire more. And, you know, that's definitely, I'm going to start referring to you as the squirrel. That is your new nickname. I will simply call you because it's everything. I didn't realize that until this trip. Everything is basically you. You like to protect?
Hoard.
You want to hoard it?
I'm a hoarder, man.
You're a hoarder.
I'm a hoarder.
That's right.
Hoarder.
She's a hoarder.
Hoarder.
How many thousand do you have out here in your suitcase? That's what I want to know.
So we leave the hotel, and Charles Broyhill says, do you know where we are going? Do you know how to get there? And I said to him the same thing I've said to Mike every time we come here. I said, listen.
It's a tradition that you always know where you're going.
I said, I used to live here. I worked at Kiss FM. We are within 5 minutes of where we want to go. No problem. We will get on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Right.
We will follow that to Sunset Boulevard, and we will be at our store.
And the only time you will start doubting yourself is when you end up in Tijuana.
Well,
that's when you finally will admit, I think I've done something wrong.
Charlie, I will ask you, how long were we in the car before we finally found Tower Records?
An hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, God. An hour and 15 minutes. And, Mike, this will sound surprisingly familiar to you.
I've been there.
At one point, we're lost.
Right.
And, yes, Rob, we're lost. And because we're in, like, the worst neighborhood ever.
Oh, did you really get lost in a bad neighborhood?
We're afraid to get out and ask for directions.
So, hi, what school do you go to?
Charlie Broyhill said something that I've heard from you.
Right.
And I said it to him when I said, you sound just like Mike.
Right.
Broyhill said, you see those hills over there?
Head for the hills.
I think you should point the car towards the hills.
Anybody that comes out wants to drive around Los Angeles. If you get lost, head for higher ground. That's the best way to do it. That always solves your problems because you always find the main drags up by the mountains.
So we go to the hills, and what do you know? We find where we're looking for.
Right.
We go to the stores that we want to go to, and then on the way back from the stores to the hotel, no problem. We make it back to the hotel.
Was there really no problem?
None whatsoever. Probably 8 minutes? 8 minutes or less.
Wow.
Eight minutes. So I said to him,
That's a number he remembered, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I said to Broyhill, you know what? Now I got it aced for tonight when we go to dinner.
Photographic memory.
Because now I know the route to come back.
Right.
So it's 5:30. Everybody's in the lobby Saturday night. Me, Mike, Rob, and Broyhill, we get in the car.
I should say before that happens, I was the first one to get off the elevator, and I see some of the people here, and the lady looks up at me. Apparently, they're having some sort of DJ party where they're having a party, and she says, so, will you be joining us? And I've learned over the years, I had no idea what she was referring to. I had no idea about anything, but I knew based on that she had spoken to somebody in our group, and I said, yes. Yes, we will. And then she came back with, you're lying. Because we didn't show for that. We had our own big little party to go to.
We get in the car. As soon as we get in the car, I shoot a preemptive strike at Mike.
Absolutely.
I say, Mike, before you say anything,
right.
I know exactly where we're going. I came back this way today. And right, Robin, I said, you know what? I said, I will have you at this restaurant in 8 minutes, mark my words.
And it's always interesting when I do, I always forget that you are the person that rented the car, so you will be driving, and I never give myself enough time to go back to the hotel room and get my parachute.
Well, oh, come on, there was no crazy driving last night.
Let me tell you, as much as you were lost, I will tell you this. I will tell you, yes, Charlie, it is time to readjust as I begin to start my slow descent to the reclining position. I will tell you this, that you're driving was probably the best it's been.
But the directions.
But you were hopelessly lost, and I knew before he said anything, but I wanted to confirm it with him. I just knew we were lost because you had said 8 minutes, which to me, an 8 minute drive is around the block. And as I see that the car is pointed somewhere towards Arizona,
I just want to say that Santa Monica Boulevard is a goddamn confusing road.
It's a confusing town.
That it turns into other roads. We got talking, and the next thing you know, we're lost, and then everybody starts getting mad at me.
And Charlie at that point say, they're the hills, they're over there.
Yeah.
Then you point the car to the hills, and we find out where we are.
So we find the restaurant. And now at this point, Mike was getting a little upset because it was 2 minutes after 6, and you said, what if Leah showed up on time at 6 o'clock?
Yeah, and if she's a major star, she'd show and, you know, look around. We weren't there and probably split.
She probably would. So we go into the restaurant. We get there. We arrived at 2 minutes after 6. We sit down, and we are like schoolgirls because, hey, it's my birthday, and we're going to have dinner with a big Hollywood star, and then we're going to go out and see her boyfriend sing later.
Right.
And it's going to be a real Saturday night. At one point, we're even thinking, maybe we'll watch the Oscar De La Hoya fight with Leah Remini.
And I want to say thank you to a couple of friends of ours. And I mean friends of ours, Tommy and Gigi.
Oh, yeah.
Let's give them their props.
Friends of ours.
What's that, Rob?
Jeff, the other man.
And Jeff.
And Jeff.
Major D.
These guys run the Palm Restaurant here in L.A., and they did a great job of taking care of us. They
Jeff and Gigi.
They, for a while, even bought into the fact that Leah was going to show up for dinner because they didn't see us immediately.
Oh, excuse me.
We did have a fine meal, though, didn't we?
They didn't see this immediately. They put us at the bar and said, you could wait here for Miss Remini.
Absolutely.
So we sat and we waited, and I guess after about 20 minutes, I said to Charlie Broyhill, why don't you just call her up? You've got her phone number at home. Call her up and find out what the deal is. Now,
give her a ringy dingy.
You tell me if this doesn't sound like a bull-ass excuse. And we don't know because we haven't seen Leah. We didn't see her yesterday, Sunday. Right. We haven't seen her yet today, Monday. So.
All I know is that you had four guys in their Sunday best, all polished. We all had our Vitalis in our hair. We were spit polished.
I had my shirt with no collar on.
You had your LA. You had your best LA look.
I did.
We were all scrubbed and perfumed as best we can. I mean, you can't get the barn smell out of all of us after all that time. But we were really all hoping against hope that we would be having dinner with a star.
So I said to Charlie, go call and see what the deal is. He steps outside, he calls, he comes back, and he says that he talks to Antonio or Pedro. What's her boyfriend's name?
Angelo.
Now you tell me if this doesn't sound like a bullcrap excuse.
Right.
Angelo says, oh, Leah's shooting a movie tonight.
Right.
Yeah, Leah's shooting a movie.
And that's when we knew.
At 6 o'clock. On Saturday night, Leah's shooting a movie.
And that's when we knew it was effectively over. And we had a moment of disappointment, but I thought we rallied rather strongly. Ended up having a pretty good evening.
Yes.
We sure did, thanks to Mr. Merlot.
Yeah, the vino was flowing and the steaks were cooked well.
Hell, you know what? I am also a big hoarder when it comes to my favorite wine.
Yeah, at one point I said, may I try a little bit of that? And you had ordered a bottle of red wine, which is your, I guess Merlot is your type of wine.
Yeah.
And so you'd ordered that bottle for yourself, and we were all... And I was curious to see, because you were really excited about the wine, and I said, could I try? I don't drink red wine that often. It's one of the few things I really don't drink a lot of. And so you kind of had a look that it was just like... All right. I said,
How much do you think I poured you? A teaspoonful?
You poured me...
A thimbleful?
You could have put it in one of those Visine eyedroppers, and I would have gotten more out of it. And then, you know, it was so good. And at one point I informed you, I said, it's going to be okay. If we all drink the wine, we will be able to buy another bottle. It will be okay. And then the other bottle came, and later on is when you filled your glass of wine up to within an eighth of an inch of the brim.
Yeah.
And then poured me what was left, which is really... In red wine, I don't care how good it is, that's like getting that's the upper decker of the wine glass.
And that's after I drank a little just right out of the bottle.
I know you did.
Give you guys all my cooties.
Well, the other thing is a standard wine glass is 5 ounces, and they're serving us like big gulps of wine.
Yeah.
And it was
we were enjoying beakers of wine, but a wonderful meal, great service, it was a great time, and I realized that the mentality of the squirrel that I was never so aware of until that you really did it. And at first it wasn't a joke. I said, would you mind? This is exactly... Do you remember exactly what you did? This is exactly what you did.
Mike, I don't remember anything about Saturday night. It was my birthday. I wasn't driving.
Let me tell you exactly what you did. I look across at you and I said, would you mind if I had a little more of that wine? And do you know what you did after that?
No.
You poured yourself... that's when you poured yourself like up to the brim of a glass. That's when I got
I'm sorry.
It was no. We ordered another bottle. It was A-okay. It was no, but it was so funny because it's the same way with cigars and wine. And wine now. God forbid there's ever another gasoline shortage. I'm going to your house.
So we get done, and the only person who's in any condition to drive is Charles Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill.
So Charlie Broyhill, he drives us back. Drops us off at the hotel. Now, this was, so many days ago. This was Saturday night. So I went upstairs because I had to get up early Sunday to come do the Redskins show. Called my wife. And you know how it is? All I said was hello.
Right.
And my wife immediately knew I was faced. Oh, yeah. I called her. It was about 11:30 East Coast time. I called her. I said, hi.
I love you.
She said, you are drunk. I said, no, I'm not.
She said, it's my birthday.
Well, I said, we went out for the birthday. And then she got a little paranoid when she said, did you get drunk with that TV star? And I said, no. That's why I had a whole bottle of wine. She didn't even show up.
Very, very sad. We were very disappointed. At one point, we were halfway through the dinner, right? And Rob brought it up. Remember when you brought it up? And we had just forgotten it.
Yeah, it was a big downer.
You know, we're sitting there. We're you know, laughing, actually having a good time. And we said, you know, if Leo was here, I said, why did you bring that up?
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed.
So when I left Mike and Rob on Saturday night.
We were holding hands.
Mike and Rob were going to go try to find shirtless. Mm-hmm. They were going to go try to find a place to watch the Oscar De La Hoya fight, which I guess was a great fight.
Well, that was the line we gave you. Actually, what we were trying to do was find some of L.A.'s finest bathhouses, which is what Rob and I always do. Well, we asked about 10 people where we could see this fight. And I don't even remember the name of the place, but there's this one place that is showing the fight. And so we drove up to Sunset and Dublin.
The Dublin.
So we drive up to the Dublin. We get out, and I see that they've got TV screens. And I did not look around the corner where there were 300 to 400 people standing in line waiting to get into this place.
Like the population of Dublin.
And a 16-inch color television outside where people are waiting in line. And an element that, you know, I just felt like perhaps I might be violated if I stayed around there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we decided.
Lots of tough gays?
There were some tough guys there. No, I don't think they were gay. They're just tough guys that would make me cry.
Oh, okay.
So I think Rob and I, at that point, I mean, it wasn't even a decision. We decided, enough of this. Let's take a nice romantic walk down Sunset Boulevard.
And we revisited some of our favorite places of the past.
That's
Spago.
Right. Spago, yes.
Jay Ward's Animation Studio.
Walking down towards the whiskey here in here.
Oh,
in
a whiskey a go-go. I know exactly where you guys are walking.
We're
Boulevard.
By that old hotel we used to stay in.
Right.
And Rob and I walked about. It was a lengthy walk for us. We walked about half a block.
Yards and yards.
Yeah, and then it was downhill, so we were very winded. And at that point, Rob bellowed across four lanes of traffic.
Cab! Cab!
It worked.
And it worked. A cab going in the other direction hung a U-turn, a dangerous U-turn, based on the bellowing of Mr. Rob's
I think he was a graduate of the Don Geronimo Driving School.
I got to get you guys a horse-drawn carriage.
Oh,
to take you around. Oh, U-turn. Charlie, how about the U-turn I pulled Sunday morning when we were coming real early with the engineers? It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. We're making our way over here yesterday to do the Redskins show.
Right.
And I was going the way that I thought I knew to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the engineers said, are those guys British or
yes,
what?
Yes, they are. They're Englishers.
They said,
hello.
They said,
hello.
It might be a good idea if you turn around and get back on Pico.
And you were in the right lane to die.
There was nobody on the road. So I said, hey, no problem, boys.
All right, I'll do it for you just because I want to prove myself to you.
I made the back turn, and I think that those guys, I bet their underpants look like Dennis Murphy's.
Probably.
Yeah, that was my only bad U-turn of the weekend.
Well, we actually ended up not doing anything, and we took our little romantic walk. We were winded. We went back to the hotel, and my evening really started at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Why?
I was lying in bed, and right before, you know, we'd had a nice steak dinner. I'd actually had prime rib, so immediately before I retired for the evening.
Which you sent back, incidentally.
Yeah, because it was undercooked. It was still going. And I go to sleep, but right before I go to sleep, of course, I take care of a little business, which really, after all that good food, was very, very necessary. And I didn't think anything of it. And I always, you know, I'm a looker. You know that I'm a looker. So I check things out.
Oh, yeah. We've discussed that.
I look at everything, and I look down, and everything looked fine. 4 o'clock in the morning, about 4:15, L.A. time, the phone rings. And on the other end is this guy saying, hi, Mr. O'Meara, and he has that voice of that 20-something, that guy that's going to F with us, like,
yeah,
when we're on the road. Listen, there's a leak coming out of your hotel room right now. There's a leak, and it's spilling out of the hallway and running down the wall, and it's running down in here to the lobby, and I just wanted to check, and I'm like, and then I hear this guy in the background going, yes, yeah, you tell him it's leaking out onto the hallway. Tell him it's leaking down onto the hallway. And I said, it sounds like two guys doing shtick. He said, I'm going to put our security guy on, because they didn't believe the
you
first
You still
guy.
Think it was like one of our listeners
I,
calling
I know
him?
This. In my mind, I know this. He puts the guy going, yeah, we're just checking to see if you're all right, because it's leaking out into the hallway and leaking down and running into the lobby. I said, okay. Yeah, you know what, pal? Let me tell you something right now. You win the Academy Award, okay? Congratulations. We'll see you at the Oscars. Very good. Hey, put your big friend back on. I'm going to tell him the same thing. So he puts the other thing on. He says, yes? I said, Hey, congratulations. Nice try, okay? You didn't get me. So, sir, we're just concerned. Sir, we're just concerned about your safety. I said, knock it off. Okay, end of bit, okay? I said, fantastic. Congratulations. And I hang up. So, you know, like I'm always want to do, I'm going to see if they left something outside my door because obviously somebody knows where I'm staying and has done it. It's happened before when we've been on the road. So I go out and I'm going to walk out and open the door. As I get to where the carpet ends and that tile floor starts,
right.
I have an inch of water on the floor. I have a solid inch of water and I look to my right and bubbling out of the toilet is water that is just at a very steady stream.
Is it just water?
It is just water. I don't know where the poo went, but there was no poo. See, I told you, I looked in there, there was no evidence of poo because it would have been on the floor, but it's a slow leak because the access valve to the toilet, which normally would fill up like, it's actually going, and all night long. Now, when I got home from the restaurant, right before I took care of my business, of course, what do? I stepped out of my trousers and put them right next to the toilet.
Well, your slacks.
My sensible slacks.
Doused.
They're under an inch of water. They're completely absorbed. And I took my shirt off also when I was sitting on the bowl. And so my shirt.
So you mean you're naked?
I had my boxers on. That's what I. And
well,
then
no, but
and
not,
I slid my boxers down around my ankles.
So
and
an
I just sometimes, you know, that was the kind of dump that I just wanted to really enjoy.
You're naked going number two.
I was naked going, but I pulled my boxers on, and I realized at this point, I run into the bedroom, and I call the front desk, and I'm like, hello, and he says, hello, sir. I said, I am so sorry. I really, you better send someone up here, maybe with a plunger. And at this point, I hang up with you. We'll send somebody right up, sir. I run back into the bathroom. I take a towel, and I wrap it around my hand, and I plunge my hand down into the toilet. And try to, and immediately on first thrust, I'm really good. Because I'm a stuffer, I'm really good at unclogging toilets. I know exactly how to, where to exert the right. One shot, I get it unclogged, and it all goes like
Michael Mara, plumber.
Let me tell you something. At this point, I think it would be a good idea to take a peek out into the hallway. And I opened the door, and Rob, I actually brought Rob up.
Yeah, we had a field trip
Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I brought Rob up to actually take a peek at it. And Rob, you will verify, my room is about halfway down the hallway, and the water came up almost to, the carpet was soaked through almost to the elevators. And I said, where is the water coming through? And the security, director of security, a fine Hispanic gentleman, said to me, it's coming through in the lobby, sir. It's dripping down into the lobby. I was on a lower floor. If I'd been on a higher floor, somebody would have been getting, you know, Mike's holy water all night long as they tried to snooze. I am so mortified. I'm standing there. I put a shirt, another shirt back on, and I've got it over my boxer shorts as they're bringing in probably 50 towels to get this water absorbed. And still, outside my door now, where you go outside of my door, the hallway is covered with white towels.
They didn't give you another room?
No. No, they didn't.
Did you think to ask, would you have liked another room?
I was feeling responsible because it was a toilet blockage. It was a toilet blockage that...
It's
faulty because I would have heard it, and it wasn't, it was at such a little trickle that I didn't know what to do. But then when I ran the guy such an attitude. I was like, okay, Mr. Actor, thanks so much. Okay, you're not going to pull that one over on me. See you later, sucker. And I hang up the phone, and then I go in, and I've got Niagara Falls in my bathroom with my pants soaked. The ironing board in the closet was soaked. That's how far up the water came. I'll show you.
Really?
The ironing board was resting on the floor, and then it absorbed it like a sponge, and so it goes halfway up the ironing board. Fortunately, I'd been a good boy and actually hung up all of my clothes, so I was okay to wear what I was wearing. But then they said...
So the clothes you're wearing now nothing to do with toilet water?
Not touched. Not touched at all. And the security guy came in, and he put his foot on the carpet, and he said, well, it looks like at least it didn't get back into the room. And I'm like, yeah, at least that's true. He leaves 5 minutes later, I take my shoes off, and I walk across the carpet, and I feel squish. Squish. So I've gotten water. I don't know how many gallons of water I was responsible, but it was 4:15, was it 4:15? Yeah, L.A. time, when he called me. And I was just so totally mortified that I actually went down to the front desk on Sunday morning, and I said to the guy, is the gentleman that was working at 4:15, is he still here? No, sir, he went home. Would you please extend to him my most heartfelt apologies, A, for questioning his sincerity, and B, for clogging his toilet. But it was I was so embarrassed. And I didn't get back to sleep after that. I had to call my wife, you know, at the wee hours of the morning.
Is that why I couldn't find you on Sunday? Because I was so bored on Sunday. You know,
I was crying.
You only get one channel out here for a football game.
Yeah.
So, and I'm used to watching all the games on Sunday.
Right.
The only game that I could watch on Sunday was San Diego and Cincinnati.
That sucked.
Great game.
Well, I watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it because it was the only damn thing to watch.
Well, you know, fantasy. Always got to pay attention to all those teams with fantasy.
But I couldn't find you, and I couldn't find Rob, and Broyhill and I got done with the Redskins show, and he was gone. And
you know, you have to be careful when you're talking about fantasy football. I found that in the lobby when I was yelling for Charlie Broyhill. I said, do you know where my fantasy list is? And, you know, you get eight people that turn around and look at you like, my fantasy list, like, you know, where's my leather hood?
But with all of that having been said, and now that we're all back together.
Here we are. Yes, slap bang, here we are again.
Nobody has talked to Leah since Saturday night. Now, Charlie, when she called your room Saturday night after she stiffed off us for dinner, what did she say?
Not a whole lot, because I was sound asleep because we had that to do Sunday morning.
Right.
So she said, well, I'll see you on Monday. That was it.
Oh, brother.
Well, we were stood up, gentlemen. I got news for you. She said she'd be there, and we were wounded puppies. Now.
Who was that?
That was me.
But that was Charlie Broyhill.
Charlie, I believe, of all of us, Charlie's heart was broken the most.
I was crushed.
I don't blame you.
I said to Charlie, though, it had to still be at least a little bit of a fantasy that you're laying in a hotel room. You know, even if you're dead asleep and it's Leah Remini calling you in your hotel room.
Absolutely.
You got some kind of fantasy going on there.
Is that just your fantasy list?
Yes, it would.
Hi, Leah. What you wearing right now? I'm here in my hotel room. Why don't you come over? Now, listen.
Come on.
The last question I have, and I know we have to do a break. The last question I have, Charlie, have you had any discussions with these CBS people to tell them that we went through the list, and frankly, only about a third of the people that they want to parade by are people that we want to have on the show?
They do know that.
They do know that.
Are they cool about it this year?
As they've always been.
Oh, all right, that is wonderful. There's going to be some problems then.
Tonight, there's going to be a jailbreak.
Who do you think is first? Is it going to be Packer?
If he's still here, I saw Betty White. She's here.
She's good. She'd be a good interview. Well, all these celebrities today will be great, and all the CBS shows are great. I can't wait for Leah to get here, and I want to hear what her excuse is, and I want to hear exactly how she's going to make it up to us.
Absolutely.
Because she's gone from being number one on the list to now being... Well, number one.
Well, you know,
she's still number one on the list.
She's number one. She'll be coming by, and, well, we'll get all the explanations.
Yeah, we'll find out. Listen, we are live in Hollywood, CBS, back, more show right after this.